Okay, good morning. Thank you so much for coming. We merit to learn Torah Hashem, Hashem's Torah. And today's daf is page 126, Daf Kuf Chavav, in Masechet Baba Basra. We are 50 blot away from a siyum on Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Vav. As we know, there are 176 blot in Masechet Baba Basra, 176 psukim in Tehillim Perek Kuf Yutes, and 176 psukim in Parshas Naso. So, Daf Kuf Chavav, we're in the midst of learning all about the law that a firstborn gets a double portion. We know the famous psukim in Parshas Kisetze. The Torah says that if a man is married to two women, one beloved and one hated, v'haya ben ha'uva, v'haya b'chor to the ben asnu'a, the firstborn was the child, the son of the hated wife, the beloved wife didn't have the firstborn. The Torah says, lo yuchal, he's not able, levaker es pnei ben ahuva, al pnei ben asnu'a b'chor. He's not allowed to choose to turn his son of the beloved wife into the firstborn and reverse it from being the privilege and opportunity of the son of the hated wife. Rather, ki es ha-b'chor ben asnu'a yakir, rather, the one who is the firstborn is the son of the hated wife, and he gets a double portion, in all that is found to him. That's a very key phrase, all that is found to him. All that is possessed by him, what father dies, and at the moment of father's dying, is possessed and in the control of father. So that gets divided up, and the firstborn gets a double share of that. But what was not in control of father, what maybe could come to father at the moment of death, maybe it would happen, father would get it, but at the time of death, father was not in actual control of it. It was ra'uy, it wasn't muhzak. Then the firstborn does not get a double share in it. Ein habachor, no tel pishnayim bira'ui kibim muchzak. The firstborn does not get a double share in assets that at the time of death were on their way to father, likely to become fathers, fitting for father, but they were not in the actual possession of father. He only gets a double portion and that which was in the actual possession. So we saw discussions about this. What's the definition of actual possession? If father lent out money and there is a contract, so you know he's got a lien on property because of it, he's likely to collect it. Does that give him, do we then say that that's money that was already in the possession of father? And the conclusion at the very end of our learning yesterday was the halacha is that no, a milva alone is considered ra'ui, is not considered muhzak. The loan eventually gets paid back, that's true, but that's new things. That's not what father was in actual possession of.
Even if it's secured, right?
Even if it's secured by land, right? But we did see that if there was a milval amashkon, if he lent money and he took a surety, a collateral, which is in his hands, which is worth the value of the loan, so since we've learned before that Baal Chov Kone Mashkon, a lender owns the collateral. He could give it to a woman and marry her with it. So he already has really collected the loan. So since he's already collected the loan, so that is a loan that he's in possession of, and the firstborn is entitled to a double share. But if it's, he has to do something to collect. He has to go take it away from a person who bought it, right, if it's land, or he has to, go collect from the borrowers themselves, if they're still around, and they have money. So then, you know, it's mechusar guvaina, it's still missing collection, and since it's missing collection, it's not muhzak, it's not in the actual possession of father, and the Bechor, the firstborn, doesn't get a Pishnaim, doesn't get a double share in that. Yeah, Baruch, question. Oh, we love it.
Come to the Shi'ur and Shabbat, say a blessed
question. More questions.
Easy, I love you.
I love you too.
Rabbi, in Jewish law, a dead person is neshama go to shamayim.
Yes.
Is when he dies in his neshama go to shamayim or when he's buried? Starts from when?
Well, when. So that's not in Jewish law. That's already the matter of Kabbalah. But from what I recall, I have to look it up. There's an aspect that goes to Shemaim right away, but he doesn't come to rest and peace until he's buried. That's why you want to bury him right away.
This inheritance could happen when in between. So yeah. what happens?
Yeah.
Double portion or one portion?
No. What did he have at the time that he died? Whatever he owned and was in possession of at the time that he died.
Then that's it.
That's muhzak, right? What comes later, that's right. What comes later, that's already ra'uy.
So, Rabbi, the key about the collateral is that it's not collateralized in land. It has to be, he has to have physical possession of the collateral object.
That's right. He has to have possession of the monies. They have to have been paid back to him. So if he has an object that's in his hand, that he's kones, so then he has physical possession. That's right. Yeah, Yosef, a question.
Clarifying, the person passes away, before he passes away, he basically, at the deathbed, says, I want to give X, Y, and Z to my relatives, grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, doesn't really make a difference. And then he passes away, so he gave everything away, but there's nothing for
Yerusha. Then there's no for the Torah, then you don't have the Torah's possibility.
And is it, he would violate something, or?
Well, that's the question, how you define the mitzvah of Yerusha. Rambam counts it as a mitzvah, so maybe he did violate something. You're supposed to leave some assets and let those assets go down in the Torah way of the Bechor getting a double portion, etc. It could be. Maybe not. Depends how you define that mitzvah. We said when we began learning, we said some would say it's a mitzvah on the Beis Din, maybe it's a mitzvah on him. Okay, so let's now see today's daf, Kuf Chavav. We just said that Milva alone is ra'uy, is considered potential money. It's not murzak. It's not money that was in the possession of the dying father. What happens if the loan is between the firstborn and the father? Umilva she'imo. What about a loan that's between the bechor and the father? The bechor borrowed the money from the father, and now the father died. So now do we say that that's assets that is only ra'ui to come to father? Or do we say, listen, it's already in the hands of his son, and that's the son who wants to get the double portion. So that's already in the hands of the father. So we're not sure how to treat it, and therefore palgi, that gets divided. So he would get half of that double portion. He'll get the regular portion that he's entitled to. He's entitled to a portion of all of the assets of father. And in that second portion, since we're not sure how to treat these assets, whether we treat it as something that the father was muhzak in, or we say that it's something that the father was not muhzak in, so therefore that gets divided, and he gets half of it. So you'd get 1.5 shares.
Well, Robert,
so there was a...
One second. Sorry. Todd has a question. Yes.
What if, for setting aside this loan, what if the father owned property that happened to be in the hands of one of his children? But when the father died, the father doesn't have possession of it because it's not in his possession. It's in the possession of some son of his.
In what role? What is the son? A shomer? Is it a pikadon?
Let's assume for a second that it's a shomer.
So then that is considered father's possession.
What if the son was a gunner?
So then maybe not, right?
So there
would be a difference between a ganav, right? If the son took it with the intent of stealing it and he has kinyan igneva and the father can't be makdish it or sell it because it's eno birshuso, then maybe different. But if he's a shomer, that's also in the possession of father and that's considered b'chal asher yimatzei lo.
What if the property is in the overseas?
Doesn't matter. It's
a child overseas. I mean, it just seems to me there are other examples that they could have given of a situation where one of the children is the holder of the property.
We were talking about loan. That's our
our concepts. That's our discussion.
So Rabbi, in the example that we just mentioned, if the son was renting a field from the father at the time of death, then he's not deemed to be in the possession of the father. Right?
No, that's only in the possession of father.
Even though he's renting.
Yeah, that's in the possession of father. That's fine. Next Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Huna said, in the name of Rav Asi, we in this whole discussion of Ra'ui, so we saw there was the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. What happens if father dies and then the assets appreciate? So Rebbe's of the opinion that the appreciation that happens automatically, that happened on its own, the son isn't, the firstborn's entitled to a double share of that. What happened? Because the brothers invested money, the son's not entitled to a double share of that. And the Chachamim hold that both, what appreciates because the sons invest money, and what appreciates on its own, the son is not entitled to a double portion in. And we, the firstborn. And we paskin like the Chachamim, but said, Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Asi, Bechor Shemicha, if the brothers are about to spend money to appreciate the asset of father, and the son protests. He says, listen, I don't want you to start spending money on the estate. Let's first divide up, and I'll spend my own money on my part. You'll spend your money on your part. So, Micha, that protest works. And if they didn't listen to him, and they spent money to make the value more without dividing it, he gets a double portion in that appreciation, because at the moment that a firstborn says, I want the division, that makes him own his share. Now once he owns his share, he owns a double part, and now the brothers invest money to increase the value of everything, so they increased his part. So his part was increased in value double, so he gets that increase.
Regarding case of Abraham, could be that the son had money and he lent it to the father and to, as a loan, one of the property. He will be the same thing for Pulera up to now?
Page 156.
Be like, there, like we say, it's not there at all. And that's.
That's not our case. We're not talking about where the son lent to the father. We're talking about a case the other way, where the father lent to the son. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Mistaber time de Rav Asi. I think that this idea of Rav Asi, that the protest of a firstborn, entitles him to the double portion in the appreciation, even though the appreciation was a result of investment and effort on the part of the other brothers. I think that that makes sense. Let's say the father left over grapes, and before the brothers could pick them, the firstborn said, let's divide up, I insist on dividing. They didn't listen, they went and picked. So now he gets a double share of the increase of value, or zeisim u'miskum, or it's olives that get picked, and he demands the division, so he gets a double share in that appreciation. Avod rachum, but if what the father had left over were cut grapes, I'm sorry, the father left over grapes, and the firstborn says, let's divide up, I insist on division, and the other brothers don't listen. They cut the grapes, and they turn the grapes into wine. Would we say that the firstborn is entitled to a double share of that added value of that wine? Lo, not. Why? Because the brothers are ganavim. The brothers are thieves. He said, let's divide up. So the moment he says, let's divide up, halachically they are divided. And he's saying, I don't want you to do anything. And they're going and taking his grapes, and they're turning his grapes into wine. So a ganav, a thief, is kone b'shinui. He acquires through a change in the status and the nature of the object. The object had been grapes, but he turned it into something new. He turned it into yayin. He turned it into wine. So when he's kone through shinui, what does he pay? He pays kishas agzela. He pays like the value at the moment of the theft. At the moment of the theft, it was grapes. It wasn't wine. So he has to pay the value of grapes. And now that the wine it became wine and the wine appreciates, the firstborn's not entitled to that appreciation. He's entitled to get the pishnayim, the double share of anavim, of grapes, which is what was stolen from him.
But he doesn't get the pishnayim in the yayin, because the yayin that already belongs to the thieves, the brothers who are the thieves. That's the view of Rabbah. Rav Yosef Amar and the great Holy Amora. Rav Yosef says, Afilu drachim, drachum, even if the brothers turn the grapes into wine, nevertheless, the firstborn's entitled to a double share in that added and more value, in that added value in the wine. So what do you mean he's entitled to a double share? Drachum, if the brothers took the grapes, when he said, I don't want you guys taking it, let's divide up. And they crushed them into wine. Meikara envy. First it had been grapes. Hashta chamra. Now it became wine. So there was a shinoi, there was a change. So since there was a shinoi, they should be kona with the shinoi. Answers the Gemara. So no, it doesn't mean that he gets a double share in this appreciated value. Like Avukva Bar Chama is going to explain in the name of in Halach of Shmuel very soon, that if the other brothers took the grapes against the will of the firstborn and turned it all into wine, and maybe the wine, let's say, spills, or the wine becomes less valuable than the grapes. What does Rav Yosef mean when Rav Yosef said, Afilu drachem, even if they were crushed? It means like this, Litein lod me hezek anavav, that if the value went down, the thieves have to pay the value of grapes, because that's what they stole. So hachanami, that's what's going on here in our case of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's not disagreeing with Rabba. Rabba says that if the Bechor says, let's divide up, and the other brothers don't listen. They say, we're not dividing. And we're still investing and changing and improving. And they take the grapes and they turn the grapes into wine. So they're ganavim on the grapes. Now they've turned it into wine. So they're kona b'shinui. So they pay kishas hagzela, like the moment of the theft. They pay grapes. That's true. They don't give a double share in the appreciated value in the wine. But let's say the wine didn't appreciate. The wine may have depreciated. It may have gone down in value. So if the wine went down in value, they have to give a double share of the grapes. So Achanami nosin lo tmei hezek anavav. He has to give him the damage to grapes because they were ganavim on the grapes. So that's at that moment, their penalty that they need to pay was locked in. Says the Gemara, Heicha itmar dirav ukva bar chama. Where was this lesson of Rav Ukva Bar Chama taught? It's on the following lesson of Shmuel. Ahad Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Holy Amora Rav Yehuda quoted his teacher Shmuel. Kocharu Pashut. Shiniach Lenaviyim Anavim Ubatzrum. If there is a firstborn and there is a second son, and father left over to them grapes, and they picked the grapes. Ozesim Umaskum. Father left them olives, and they picked the olives. Bechor no til pishnayim. The firstborn gets a double share in the appreciated, in the increase. If he had demanded a division before they picked, vafilu drachum. And even if they were crushed and turned into wine. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Drachum, if they were crushed and turned into wine, how could the firstborn be entitled to a double share of the added value? Meikara envy hashtachamra. When he was protesting and therefore acquiring his share, it was grapes. Now it's become wine. There's been a theft and a shinui. So Amar Mar Ukva Bar Chama. Mar Ukva Bar Chama answered, when we say he gets a double share, even when it's wine, that means if the wine went down in value, Litein lod me hezek anavav. If the wine spoiled, if the wine spilled, if the wine turns out to be worth less than grapes, so then the Bechor, who said, hey, let's divide up, when it was still grapes, so he already acquired his share when it was grapes. Then the brothers took his grapes, and they turned his grapes into wine. So they made a shinui on what was his. They were konet because they made a shinui. But they owe him a double share in the grapes. Yeah, Todd had a question.
Yeah, we just learned a couple of days ago that this is the whole argument between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and the Rabbanim. And I thought that the...
Halacha's like the Rabbanan.
The halacha's like the Rabbanan. But here the halacha is different. Because right. The Rabbanan said that once there's been an enhancement of the property, the firstborn doesn't get any share in that.
Of the enhancement, good.
And here you have Rav Yehuda saying the name of Shmuel and all these other sources that... What is...
Well, the firstborn did consent.
There was no firstborn protest. Here, there's a firstborn protest. Once he protests, that divides up the assets. Once he says, I don't want us to be stuck in an estate together. I want my share, you take your share. That already makes him own his share. He's kona his share by means of the macha. So the chiddush here is that even though the brothers didn't listen to him, the macha worked, he owned his share. Now the brothers turn it into yayin. Okay, they're kona b'shinui, but they still need to pay him a double share of anavim, of grapes.
They owned the money at the time they stole it.
I think the chiddush is that they are considered ganavim, right? I think the chiddush is
without the money. We already knew. We didn't need another comment on that.
Not sure.
Very harsh language.
They are ganavim.
Because in a partnership, just because one day you want it to be straight away break apart.
He's a yoresh. He's a child. Hashem gives in his share. He says, "I want it." That's it. He gets it.
On the contrary, they should have sweat equity given to them for the work that they did.
But he didn't let them. He could have done a better job. They're not entitled to steal his stuff.
Rabbi, it's inherently unfair to the bechor if they end up putting it into wine. And they end up then giving him only his money for what's considered grapes. This bechor never has the opportunity to now make wine out of that.
Well, that's the law of every victim of theft. What can you do? A victim of theft. That's what happens. A victim of theft is never a victim. That's what happens.
Is there a common time between the death and the splitting of the assets, or it could be any time?
Could be any time. That's the point here. That once he says, "I want out," the assets are split up.
To first question, then any one of the brothers can trigger the split, or is it?
I don't know. It sounds that way.
Well, the Bechor, we established that.
Certainly the Bechor can't. I would think the others could too.
Why don't they try to reconcile the argument between Rabbi Huda Nasi and the Rabbanan by saying Rabbi Huda Nasi is talking about a case where they don't protest and the Rabbanan are talking about a case where they do protest? Then you don't have a fight between Rabbi Huda Nasi and the Rabbanan.
Well, I think we saw in the Brisa that there was a fight. It was the same Brisa and they disagreed with each other, so we can't reconcile them.
We always reconcile cases by saying they're talking about different situations.
Not within the same text. So now the Gemara talks further about the law of the Bechor. Amar Rav Asi said, Bechor shenat al chelek kipashut viter. If the firstborn just takes one field out of all the fields that were divided up, let's say there were three fields and there are two sons. I'm sorry, let's say there are, There are five sons, and they divide up the fields into six pieces. And the Bechor just takes a single piece, just one share like the others, not a double share. So then, Viter, he is being mochel. He's forgiving his right of Bechora, and he's not entitled to demand it later. And the source for this is that we saw earlier in the view of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the view of Rabbi, that since the Torah says, latet lo pishnayim, to give to him a double portion, it's a matana, right? That which didn't yet belong to the father, he can't give as a matana. It's a matana. So once you say it's a matana, you can be mochel a matana, you can forgive a gift. So if the firstborn forgave, he forgave. He can't now go back and say, okay, I want it. He forgives. My viter, in regards to what? Did he forgive it? So Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Amar Viter Boso Sada. In that field where he took a share like the other brothers, he forgave his rights of a double portion. But in the other fields, he still wants a double portion. However, Rav Papi Mishmei Derava Amar, once in the first field, he forgives his double portion. Viter Becholon Achasim Kulo. He's made himself into a regular brother. And once he's made himself into a regular brother in the other fields as well, he's only entitled to a single share. He's not entitled to a double portion. Rav Papa Mishmei D'Rava Amar Viter B'Aisa Sadeh. Rav Papa says, he had, in the name of Rava, He has forgiven his share. In that field, Kasavar, he holds, Eilo Labuchor, Kodem Chaluka. Before they've divided up, the firstborn doesn't have ownership over the over his share. He doesn't have his share. It's at the moment of division that he gets his share. So now they're dividing this field. In this field, he's getting it because now they're dividing it. So here he's taking his, he's surrendering his special privileges and just getting a share like the other brothers. Okay, but in the other fields, he didn't do that. So what came to his hand is what he can be mochel about. Idach, what didn't yet come to his hand, lo achil, he hasn't forgiven. So that he's not in, that he's still entitled to get a double sharing. However, Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava, Rav Papi in the name of Rava holds, Viter b'chal nechasim kulan. Once he takes only a single share in a field, the first field, that means he's surrendering his right to a double portion in the other fields too. Why? Because kasava, Rav Papi holds, yesh lo labchor, kodem chaluka. Even before the firstborn has the asset divided to him, he has a right of a double share in all the assets. And so since he has a right in all the assets, if at the very beginning he's mochel in all the assets. Nidachel baha, since he was mochel in this asset, it's a sign of all the others too. Achel bakulo, that means he's being mochel in all the other assets as well. Interesting, right? Yeah. So he has a share in it, but apparently he's not going to get the Shevach. It's an interesting thing, right? It is his, but it isn't his. It's got like some stake in it, but it's not fully his. We wouldn't say he's getting the Shevach, right?
Rabbi, I forget. I think we discussed this. The will from the father supersedes all this.
We're going to talk about that today, Staff. It's a problem. But how could a will supersede? It's Masnel Masha Kasa
BaTorah. I mean, that's the way the father wants it to be done. So
yeah, but the Torah says give a Bechor a double portion. So that means you're making a condition against what the Torah said. So that's a problem. We'll see that.
In this example, the Bechor has to affirm that he's waiving his special right?
Yeah. But the question is, if he affirmed it in the first field, right, if he affirms in the first field, does that mean he has affirmed it in all the fields? Or do we say, no, he affirmed in what he had a stake in, which is the first field. Now we get to the second field, he's going to now get a stake there. There, we start again, fresh. That's the Gemara is going to talk about that, exactly. Yeah, the Gemara talks about that, very true.
When the Gemara uses the phrase, shenatol, right, that he took it, doesn't that imply something different? That what the Bechor has done is the Bechor has kind of, without consulting the brothers, without going to Beit Din, said, okay, I'm taking this share. So if he took a share like that, if he went out and took a share, then you could understand why he would be, therefore, waiving the rights, because he said, "This is my, if you're self-enforcing your rights."
That's not what it means. No, he took when things were given out, he took a share like everybody else. So now the Gemara says, "Vahadir Rav Papi v'Rav Papa." This dispute between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, La Beferish Itmar, wasn't explicitly taught about this scenario. Ela Michlala Itmar, it was implied based on their discussion in another scenario. Da'u Bechor, there was a firstborn. Da Azil Zabin Nichse Dideu De Pashit. He went and he sold everything. He sold his asset. He sold the asset of his brother without getting permission. Then the brother died. Azul Yasmi Bnei Pashut, Lamechal Tamri Mihani Lekuchos. The sons of the deceased brother went to eat the dates from these people who had bought the field. Machunu. So these people who bought the field started to hit them with sticks. Amru Lehu. So these children said, Amlu Krovim, sorry, the relatives of these orphans said, Lo mistaydes of Netinu Nechsayu, is it not enough that you, quote unquote, bought the property? You had no right to buy the property because an owner in it had never agreed to the sale. You're now also beating up the rightful owner's children who are trying to take their portion. So this question came to Rava. Amaluhu, so Rava paskind. Lo asa v'lo klum. This firstborn who sold the field had no right to sell the field. The sale didn't work. So Marsa v'lo asa klum. B'palga. So one opinion is he didn't do anything in half, because the Bechor gets a double portion, right? He gets the Pashut portion and he gets the Bechora portion. So before there had been a division, he has no right to the Pashut portion. He couldn't sell that. But the Bechor portion, he could sell, because you have a right to the Bechor portion right away. Umar Savar, whereas the other opinion that says that the Bechor portion also only becomes the property of the Bechor once it's actually allocated, Bekulu. So in all of the possessions, there was no sale at all, because he, the Bechor, had not had it allocated to him yet. He just went right away and sold. So he wasn't entitled to anything. So that was the discussion about a sale. So from that question about a sale, we now derived that it would be the same discussion in terms of forgiving. That according to Rav Papa, he doesn't have any rights to anything, so because it wasn't divided to him yet. I'm sorry, so once one piece was divided to him, Rav Papa would say he has a right in that. He was mochel his share in that, but not in the rest. And according to the other opinion, since right away he has a share in everything, so he could be mochel in everything. Shalchu mitam, the rabbis, the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, sent the following law: Bechor shemachar kodem chaluka, a firstborn who sells even his bechora share before it had been divided, lo asa klum, the sale didn't work. Almas, you see that they hold, ein lo lebechor kodem chaluka, that before things are actually divided, the firstborn has no share in anything. V'hilchasan halacha is yesh lebechor kodem chaluka, that before it's actually divided, the firstborn still has his share, and he could sell it or be mochel it.
You can only sell the Bechor part.
That's right. Marzutra. So now the Gemara says, Marzutra mid Rishba. Marzutva from Rishba. Palag bitsana de pilpula. Bahade achin b'shaveh. He divided up a basket of black pepper that they had inherited from their father equally. So even though he was a Bechor, he didn't take a double share. Asalakamid Rav Ashi. So then he came to Rav Ashi with the question, what about all the other assets? Amarle. So Rav Ashi said, you know what the halach is? The halach is you have your Bechor share right away and everything, even without it being allocated to you. Once you forgave some of your Bechor, you have forgiven your rights in all of the possessions of father, and you now are no longer considered like a Bechor. You are only like a Pashut. You only get a single share in all assets. Yeah.
But it's a, I think you learn anything that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Even you say I'm not gonna do it, you said nothing.
So that's the next Mishnah. Let's see what the Mishnah says. Okay. So now we deal with the question that Baruch brought up. Uh-oh. If a person makes a will, does that will, can he go against the Torah's instructions for what should happen with assets? Says the Mishnah. We're going to get to that soon. First, the Mishnah talks about if a person says, Omer ish ploni b'ni b'chor, a man who says, this son of mine, Reuven, is my b'chor, but lo yito pishnayim, he's not to get a double portion. Or he says, ish ploni b'ni lo yirashim echav, this is a son of mine, But I'm disinheriting him. He's not supposed to get any assets with his brothers. Lo amar klum. Such a condition doesn't take effect. Shehisnal mashakasa batorah. Because he's trying to uproot a Torah law. He's trying to make a condition against the Torah's law. Hamachalik nechasav al piv. Let's say a person is dying. And so now, with his very words, acquisitions are made. So he's dividing up the property. He's giving gifts. V'riba le'echad. So he gives to one son more than his portion. U'mi'et le'echad. He gives to another son less than the normal portion that he's deserving. Or, hishvel enes habachor. He takes all of his possessions, he divides them up, and he gives each an equal portion, the bechor also with an equal portion. Dvarav kayamim. So as a gift, it works. He can give gifts. And his words last. Because, right, it's taking effect before the death. V'mama mishum Yerusha. But if he said, these are my orders, that my firstborn should inherit a portion equal to the others. It shouldn't be a gift. It should be an inheritance. Lo amar klum. That means nothing. Because you can't make a condition against the Torah law. Now, if he said, both Matana and Yerusha, Kasav Bein Betchila, Bein Beemtza, Bein Basof, if in the beginning of his words, or the middle of his words, or the end of his words, he writes that he's saying that it's a Matana, and he also said that it's a Yerusha, then Dvarav Kayamim, then it works. Says the Gemara, Lema Masnisin, the Lokri of Yehuda. This Mishnah that says that a father cannot choose to allocate his Yerusha, his inheritance, in a way different than the Torah's system, because he's Masnal Masha Kasabat Torah, is against Rabbi Yehuda. To Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar B'davar Shema Mamotzno Kayam, he says a person can make a condition on monetary law against the Torah's standards. The Tanya, you learned in a Braisa. Ha'omer Le'isha, a man tells a woman, Hariat Mukudeshesli, you are married to me. Almanash ein lochalai sheirksus va'ona. I'm conditioned that I will not provide you with food, clothing, and time. Harezu Mukudeshes, the marriage took effect. Utsno batel, but he still has to give her food, clothing, and time because it's a tnai against the Torah. Div Rabbi Meir, the three of Rabbi Meir. In terms of time, he has to give her the time. But in terms of the food and the clothing, in terms of money, it's no kayam, the tnai works, because the same way a person can be mochel money, so money you can always make a tnai about it. So the Gemara says there's a big difference. Afilu tam Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could be following Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that the wife could be mochel her right to share in ksus, to clothing and food. Hasam yada, he tells her, I'm giving you marriage, I'm marrying you without promising to give you share of ksus. Kamachla, she was mochel. Hacha, lo kamachil. But over here, he's not being mochel anything. The firstborn doesn't want to give up the double portion. He doesn't want to be mushve, he doesn't want to be equal to the brothers. He wants a double portion. The father is saying, I'm going to give an inheritance, but you're not going to get a double portion. That's against the tnai of the Torah. So therefore, it doesn't take effect.
But if he uses the word of matana, is equal.
Yes, if he says a matana, which will take effect before his death, it would work. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, let's just try to finish the blot. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, talking about the fact that a father can be the one to identify the firstborn. Amar, if the father said, Ish ploni b'ni b'chori, so and so is my firstborn, no til pishnayim, then that person gets a double share. If he says, though, Ish ploni b'choru, so and so is a firstborn, that doesn't mean that it's his firstborn. Ain't a no til pishnayim. That doesn't mean that that person's entitled to a double share. Dilma b'chadima kamar. Maybe he's saying he's the firstborn of his mother, but not that he's my firstborn, and then he's not entitled to a double share. A story. A man came in front of Rabbi Bar Barchana. Amar Lehi said to him, Muchzakani bezeshu b'chor. I know this one is a b'chor. And he's entitled to a double share. Amar Lehi, so Rabbi Barchana said, Mina yadit. How do you know that this person is a b'chor and entitled to a double share of his father's property? His father used to call him foolish firstborn. So you see that the father called him a foolish firstborn. That means he's the firstborn. Yeah, maybe Dilma Buchra Dimahu. Maybe he's firstborn because he's the firstborn of that mother. His father had multiple wives. He was the firstborn of his mother. Even if he's the firstborn of a mother, also the father might call him foolish firstborn. Another story. A man came in front of Rav Chanina. He said to Rav Chanina, I know about this person whose name was Shikhas. Shu Bukhar, the Shikhas is a Bukhar. He should get a double portion in his father's assets. Amarlei, Rav Chanina said, how do you know? Amarlei said, when people would come in front of their father with something wrong in their eye, Amalahu used to tell them, Zilu Gabe Shikhas Bri, go to Shikhas, my son, Debuchruhu, he's a firstborn, Umasi Ruke, and the spittle of a firstborn spit into the eye can heal. So his spittle heals. I see he's the firstborn. So again, the Gemara says, it doesn't mean he's the firstborn of father. Maybe he is the firstborn of mother. So Gemara says, no. Me, we have a tradition. Firstborn of father, the spittle works. The firstborn of mother, lo masi ruke, the spittle doesn't work. So I actually saw that the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, said that there's a medrash that says that when Esav came to Yitzchak to get the brachos, and Yitzchak said, I already gave it to Yaakov. So Esav gets very upset, and the medrash says, Esav, coughed up the phlegm in his mouth, and he screamed, "What? He just took my brachos, he even took my bechora." So why'd they mention that he coughed up the phlegm in his mouth? They said, the pshat is that he came to Yitzchak, he said, I want the brachos. Yitzchak said, I didn't see. I thought it was you before I gave the brachos. I don't see well. So Esav, because he was a bechor, he spit into his father's eyes, because the spittle of a bechor can heal the eyes. And his father wasn't healed. So he said, oh, not only did he take the brachos, he took away my ability of being a bechor. I wasn't able to heal my father. That's why the Medrash says that he worked up a phlegm in his mouth, and he was screaming that his bechorasi lakach, he took away my right of being a firstborn. Kaddish Drabanan.